This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Once I was lost in the woods, I saw a girl in a hood. She told me I should stick to a path. Wolves will plot behind my back. They wait for the one to lose.
Hi, Laura Hurwitz here, and welcome to the Easy Chair. This week, we continue the conversation with Lucy Gelman. She's a reporter, and she wrote a piece on the Varick AME Zion Church. So this is the conversation that we got into after she read her piece on the church. And I think it really touches a lot of things that go to what it means to be a mindful, engaged, and accurate journalist, which Lucy is. But here, we'll pick up the conversation where we left off.
Did you feel when you were in this congregation and listening to this service, did you feel a part of it, or did you feel that distance that you feel as a reporter?
Oh, that's so interesting. Both. So I will say, have you heard the saying whole hog?
Yeah.
So I will say, this is a historically Black church, and it was very important to me to go way outside of my comfort zone. So the first church I covered was First in Summerfield Methodist Church on the New Haven Green. Covered it the week that Marco Reyes went in to seek sanctuary
right in the church.
The pastor is a nice lady, and the congregation, I will say, is fairly diverse, but it was like a really good kind of gateway church, because also what you're going to get from a United Methodist congregation, I think especially in New Haven, is pretty liberal, pretty open, pretty gay-friendly, pretty friendly to other religions coming in. You know, I said, I'm a reporter, I'm here, I'm also Jewish, and they said, stay, talk to our congregants. And this was definitely, there was this sense of what is this outsider doing in our house of worship? But there was also an incredible sense of welcome. And I will say part of that is Kelsey Steele is just a really warm guy. So he's a pretty young man. And this congregation that he had in California was 200 people. And Varick is huge. And when it was led by Eldred Morrison, and I think still, it was really a bedrock of community organizing. You know, people fall on both sides of the charter education debate, and Varick has sort of plowed right in there and put themselves at the middle of it. But it's also a proselytizing church, and members are very, very open about that. One of their main missions is to bring people into the church and into Christianity. And so,
was there any of that
so much
with you?
I have not been. I've been asked a number of times, even in New Haven, which I should say is like pretty liberal, and there's a transient young population. I've been asked, you know, by people if I've been saved, but I would say never so many times in like a 2-hour period have I been asked if, sort of a la the gospel that was read, Mark chapter 4, if Jesus is awake in my ship. And yet, I also felt very, very welcome. I thought it was also very important to say I'm a reporter. I had my camera, I had my steno pads.
So basically, it's almost like you made an effort to kind of like just talk about that distance.
I never want to mislead people. It's really important to me in my work that people know why I'm there. I didn't want people to think that I was genuinely seeking a faith community that I was not, in fact, seeking. The flip side of that, of course, is, yes, I'm a reporter, but in New Haven, which is a city you can sort of wrap your arms around, everything is intensely intimate and very community-oriented. And so for me, this was also a way of saying, I am getting to know my community. It's really important to me to get to know my community. It's amazing how many people, you know, live outside of New Haven and commute in to work, and then at the end of the day, they leave.
I think it's really interesting that you're looking into these. I always think of churches, synagogues, mosques as places that are a little bit insular.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like going into a club that you don't belong to. And there's like, I mean, for me, I would be a little bit daunted, which is, I give you so much credit for just having that be important for you to go inside, to understand what's going on.
I think, so when I moved to New Haven, it was to work for Yale, which I did for 2 years. I worked at the Yale Art Gallery, actually, with your sister,
yeah,
which was wonderful. And I saw a lot of downtown New Haven, and I saw a lot of people who looked like me. So I guess now late 20s, it was early 20s then, you know, middle class white woman. And it was important to me when I transitioned to reporting full time to get out into New Haven, which is a majority minority community, and not say I, as a white woman, am tasked with telling these stories, but to put the stories in the voices of the community. And actually reading this piece, I felt so strange because I am not a man, and I am not a man of color, or of the cloth, for that matter.
But it was very interesting for me to hear you read it. You read it with this fervor and this passion. I mean, I really felt that you captured the spirit behind this man. Completely.
I mean, I will say, so there's this thing in black churches called the whoop, or the whoop, and it's sort of this style of preaching. So very sort of fervid preaching followed by sharp intakes of breath. So like, and Jesus said on the seventh day, you know, and sharp intakes of breath. And I was telling a friend of mine who is also a reverend about this, and he said, oh yeah, he was doing the whoop. Like, no big deal. Which, of course, I said, okay, like, I didn't know that.
I wonder what that particular style instills or what it's supposed to evoke.
So I was talking to, I should say, so the friend I mentioned is the Reverend Kevin Ewing, who is associate pastor at the United Church on the Green, and also an amazing pastor, and has a very different style of preaching. But what he said is, you know, you're whipping people up. The idea is you're whipping people up,
like stirring,
with this style of speech. And a very long time ago, when I was still in college, I went to a Pentecostal service with a friend, which was a very different experience for me because I am Jewish and was raised in a family that was pretty non-religious. But there was sort of a sense of people just whipped up into a fervor that really was interchangeable with faith for them. And I will say I did not feel that, but have never been someone who has been anchored by faith.
Okay, I totally get that. I mean, I think it's really interesting, though, to go into this place where you don't technically belong, to see this going on all around you, this community of faith getting whipped up. And I mean, my sense in hearing you read this is you did get caught up in it.
I think so, yeah.
Even though you were the reporter.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like that got very, even in your telling of the story, you told it, basically it was the sermon.
Yeah. And I try to focus, when I do these, I try to focus on what, you know, what the sermon is. Although I will say, Varick has this incredible, so they have a praise team, and they're incredible, and they have a band, and it's just young men who like get together and jam for Jesus, and they are so amazing. They're just so good.
Oh my God, Lucy, I feel like going, and I don't attend church and have it in many years. I mean, it just sounds like a stirring, just this emotional faith kind of transcends any kind of religious boundary. I think you can just like putting it into divisions, you know,
yes.
Christian, Jewish, Muslim, it transcends all of that. No division.
It's definitely, I mean, it's, I think I have also seen, so in my personal life, my partner is Christian, but not a practicing Christian, but his mom is quite religious, and I'm very close with her. And I have seen the very beautiful way in which one can be anchored by faith and really think about the text, so the Bible, and what one gets out of the actual passages in reading, and then what one pulls from their respective faith. So in this case, it's Christianity. And I will say, in a way that probably sounds very crunchy granola to listeners, I did not have that. I mean, I've always had a relationship where I feel very culturally Jewish and sort of guided roughly by the principles of like tzedakah and charity and giving and tikkun olam and let's heal the world. But never have I felt on Friday night a compulsion to, you know, put on a dress or slacks and march my butt to synagogue.
Yeah, so it's almost like those little traditions, those little markers weren't the things that are speaking to you.
It seems
like it's more this revelation of the soul. Also, just kind of, I just think in a faith community, it is all about this deeper thing.
The sense of the word soul is so interesting, because when I return to series like this or certain articles, so like, you know, the mayor does a press conference, you're probably going to be there if it's arts and culture related. But this is the kind of thing that I think for reporters is soul feeding, or, you know, it is life giving for your soul in a way that maybe binds religion and, I don't know, lack thereof.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I do.
I'm sorry. It's like word vomit. I'm not being very articulate.
No, you totally are. I get it. And there was one part of the sermon that just like hit me a certain way.
Oh, yeah?
When he said that Jesus was God and human and he needed a nap.
Yeah.
But I think it's being like whatever in you is divine or searching for something deeper. And then this part of you that's a human being.
Right.
I think to kind of feel those two things collide in this setting. I mean, I just think that's where it's at. I'm blown away. I really want to go.
I recommend it. I will say that I think partly because, and I never experienced this as a kid growing up Jewish, but partly because a lot of Christianity is bringing people into the fold and that idea, depending on the denomination. It's an incredibly welcoming congregation. I did, and as a reporter, I've gotten better at this, but for a while I was really scared of saying, you know, I'm really sorry, I don't understand this thing. And now as a reporter, I can say, I'm sorry, you're going to have to explain that to me. Like, assume I know nothing about that. Just can you explain it to me? And with this, I have done a little bit of this, and I would say if it's something that you're interested in, I would grab it by the horns and...
I just love that whole idea, though, of saying, I don't know, I don't understand, and not feeling the shame in not knowing or understanding, and having a community that wants you to understand, and it's important to them that you understand.
I think that's true, and I feel like partly as creatives, but also as women, often we're sort of conditioned to either say, like, oh, yeah, I totally get it, or there's shame in saying, I don't understand, you're absolutely right, and... For better or worse, in reporting, I had a great editor, Paul Bass, who edits the New Haven Independent, and I would come back from something and totally think I had the right story, and he would say, you forgot to ask really basic questions, and you're going to have to go back and call these people and just ask them really basic stuff. And that was a very good wake-up call, and I think certainly you can transfer that to anything you're reporting on, but especially religion. You know, and I've said to people who are in the Judeo-Christian tradition, I mean, even some rabbis who are much more religious than I am, I've said, I'm really sorry. Like, I know I read the Torah at some point, but you're going to have to back up.
And people, I think, are happy to explain, generally speaking. I mean, it seems that people in faith communities, I mean, I don't know, maybe your other reporting goes, you might get people who are vexed at having to... backtrack and explain stuff and go over.
Yeah, occasionally you'll get the person who says, I can't believe you don't understand that zoning ordinance or something like that. But yeah, definitely in faith communities, because I think people want it to be a welcoming place. They want their respective community. And Dixwell Avenue is an amazing place to look. There's maybe three congregations in a row, and there's also... I want to say it's the Dixwell Ave, like Greater Church of Christ. I'm probably getting that wrong. It's the Reverend Jerry Streets. And that's a very interesting, I mean, that's like, it's an architecturally interesting building, but also having that dynamic at play. Because one thing that is important to me, and sometimes I get it wrong as a reporter, but I had someone say to me when I was doing coverage of the 2016 election, which I did sort of from the New Hampshire primary up through the march on January 21st after Trump's inauguration.
So you did that reporting not locally, you actually followed
Yes and no. So I did some hyper locally And so some in New Hampshire during the primary, when there was like a clown, there were like 18 Republicans still.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, not actually, but it was, you know, Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and Donald Trump
and Ted Cruz.
Oh my gosh, Ted Cruz. Wait, he was there. But one thing I learned was I had a friend who is also a radio host at WNHH say to me, because we had run an article saying something like black vote in primary goes overwhelmingly to Hillary Clinton. And this was during the April 2016 primary in New Haven. And he said, I really would like you to redact that title because you can't ever paint a community as a monolithic block. And when I told someone that I was doing a piece on Varick, she said, oh, so you're doing just a piece on the black church. And I was like, whoa. That would be like someone saying you're doing a piece on the synagogue or the mosque. And one thing that is so exciting to me is New Haven has a mosaic of a faith community or just so many different.
You are absolutely right. In all the neighborhoods, like even in separate, like kind of discrete neighborhoods, there are any number of houses of worship. Yeah, it's extraordinary.
Yeah.
I agree. And you're going to have to come back on the podcast to read the second story that we didn't have time for. Okay.
You bet. Absolutely.
Okay. So until next time, this is Laura Hurwitz from The Easy Chair. This was an episode that I'm never going to forget.
Oh.
Lucy, this was awesome. Thank you so much for being
here. Oh my gosh. Thank you.
And I will see you soon.
You bet.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.